The New Testament text comes from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3 and verses 8 through 16. We find here the definition of faith. I don't know about you, but Bible memory has not been one of my strong points. I was in a Bible memory group or something like that at Wentworth College, and it was really hard for me to memorize whole passages of Scripture. My predecessor at the two predecessors behind at the United Churches of Olympia, where I was pastor for 23 years, memorized all of his texts. He knew all of the whole Gospel of Luke, and that always made me feel bad because he could just recite it in kind of a storytelling form. And I think that was wonderful, but I'm going to read today Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And 8 through 16. And a couple of times through this, I don't know how you are at Bible memory, I'm going to ask you to repeat the definition of faith as you have it. So repeat after me if you would. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then the writer to the Hebrews goes on, indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were made by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not seen. Now, the definition or the examples of faith he gives, the author gives here, beginning with the faith of Abraham. For by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. Here, that's, this faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. He did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that was that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself, was barren. And it didn't mention the text. The text didn't say that she was either 99 or 100 years old, but she was barren, because God considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, He has prepared a city for them. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts about living by faith and trust be of instruction to us and pleasing to you. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself, under various circumstances, about what in the world is the meaning of life? What is the word? What is the meaning of my life? Why am I here? What is it that I'm supposed to do? What makes life worthwhile? I think the answer comes to us from Hebrews 11, and the answer is faith. Faith gives meaning to life. Faith means life worthwhile. And I'll say some stuff about living in these days takes a lot of faith and trust. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Okay, repeat. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Author, pastor, theologian that I'm sure Barlow has referred to, Frederick Buechner, tells us, quote, that the madness and the lostness that we see all around us and within us are not the last truth about the world, but only the next to the last truth. And like the author of the book of Hebrews, Buechner knows that faith, and you could, certainly can be translated trust, is a thing of the heart that helps us to see the truth hidden sometimes beneath appearances. The last truth about the world, says he, the truth of God's love and grace and God's peace. And in faith, as we worship, I hope that we claim God's truth and love and peace and grace in these days. We so easily use words. We're a verbal community, aren't we? Some without thinking about them, others of which we think we know the meaning, others with surface meanings, but also with deeper life-enhancing meanings. The key word at the opening of the letter to the Hebrews, the second generation Jewish Christians living in Italy and wanting to follow, is that little word, faith. Faith that makes us sure of hope, what we hope for, and gives us proof of what we can't see. But that's not all. The raw meaning of the word faith in the Greek, the language in which the New Testament was written, is faith is trusting someone, relying on someone, a thing of the heart that helps us see the sometimes hidden truth between appearances. The truth of God's love and grace and peace made known in the life of Jesus. Because the letter to the Hebrews was written to Jews choosing to follow Jesus as the early church developed, there are many references to God's early people of faith, many named in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, and you heard the Abraham this morning. If you read other parts that go on in the book of Hebrews, you see many, many others. This person lived by faith, and this person lived by faith. In today's passage from Genesis, we heard that little piece, the familiar story of Abraham and Sarah, who were old and without children, but who were promised by God that their descendants would be as difficult to count as the stars of the sky. And despite all appearances to the contrary, Abraham believed God, and God was pleased with him. And at their advanced age, somewhere 90s in the hundreds, they did bear a child. The author of the letter to the Hebrews uses Abraham, as you've heard, as the first in a series of examples of faith in a sermon telling the early Christian community to stand fast in the midst of difficulties and challenges of their faith. And they had many in the developing early church. Faith, with several meanings beyond what, as I've defined it today, or as the writer to the Hebrews has. It's hard to define, so the author uses examples, see, of concrete stories of people that the people knew very well and could understand. And it's the experience of real people in a real relationship with God that can have us, I think, help us grasp the meaning of faith, too. As I've said, the author of Hebrews begins today's passage with that eloquent, often quoted definition of faith, that business of the assurance of things hoped for. Think about that, the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And as I've said, that's as I've said, or as the message by Eugene Peterson puts it, faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Let me say that again. Faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is our handle on what we can't see. He then draws on the lived experiences of one person of faith after another who trusted in God's goodness and the umbrella of care, including Abel and Noah and Abraham. For these Old Testament characters, faith was the ability or the openness to see the invisible in what we can see in the visible, what's behind that, and the holy in the earthly. The letter to the Hebrews also challenges the early Christian community that's struggling with something, and we're not exactly sure. There are guesses and glimpses of what that early church struggled with, but things like persecution and marginalization and fear, challenging the people in the midst of those things to have faith and to trust God. I think that the same challenge is before us today, who see the dull frustration and even the anxiety of being marginalized in other people. We see that sometimes in ourselves. Suffering swirls around us in so many arenas and in so many ways, and or so it feels sometimes. All the more need for you and me to choose to exercise our faith. I don't know when I really came to realize that my acceptance of faith is, or my the business of faith being exercised is a choice that I make. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I can choose to be faithful, or I can choose not to be faithful. To believe that there's a greater and more powerful but unseen reality above us or swirling around us that lifts its head here and there and that lifts our gaze from beneath the trouble and the turmoil of life and interprets the incessant noise and electronic chatter and turns our attention toward those promises of God instead of the promises we see being made by so many today. Competing promises, hollow promises, including the promises of many political people. Isn't it true that at one time or another, all of us long to know what lies ahead? For what we cannot see, but what we know deep down, the deepest hope of our hearts. In our lives, we have glimpses now and then of what's in store for us someday. And those glimpses come in moments of love and light and peace, things hoped for, along for sure with justice and healing, wherein all people can live at peace. Wouldn't that be an amazing, wonderful thing? Huh? With so much angst in our world and in our community, so much upheaval and uncertainty, so much violence and alienation, so much devastation, and almost every week there's something that calls our attention, like the Hurricane Dorian, or a dramatic and devastating kind of thing. The things like, again, now I think the death toll is up to 7 of shootings in Texas yesterday, just yesterday. It's every week, isn't it? Devastation and loss, and in the face of all these things, if you're like me, you long for restoration and peace somehow. We long for reconciliation and community. Perhaps our faith mantra or prayer should be that God would somehow bring us together, empower us to work for the common good, for the good of all. My sense of knowing your congregation and the history of your pastors and your congregation, that you're really doing a good job of empowering yourselves and others to work for the common good and a welcoming community. So I think the author of today's letter to the Hebrews would have us cultivate even more our deep personal relationship with the one in whom we do have faith, the one we trust, I hope, the one whose gifts we receive today as we come to the table, Christ's table, all those things that Jesus gave us in his broken body and in his spilled blood, and more than that, in his life and teachings. In all this, if we choose to live with the assurance of things hoped for, then the experience of faith, our willingness to trust God's good intentions for us and for all of creation, will keep us going in difficult times. According to Walter Brueggemann, whom I believe is the best Old Testament scholar in the past 100 years, he says that the author of Hebrews challenges us to draw strength not only from our own abilities, but from the provisions of God, because in life and in death we belong to God. And with this assurance, we can take on faith God's great power and presence, God's plan for a future that is full of hope and goodness, not destruction and despair. Trusting in God means seeing God's goodness in the worst of times and believing that God's blessings will outnumber the stars of the sky and the billions more that we cannot see. Trusting in God means, I think, seeing beauty and grace in what may seem like the smallest of wonders. For it's faith that gives substance to our hope. When it looks like life is just too hard to bear, when we struggle with that pain or loss or loneliness or doubt, faith enables us to reach out and feel the hand of God reaching out to us, taking us by the hand. Faith is trusting that God goes with us in all the events and circumstances of our lives, the good events, the bad events, and the ugly events. God's presence is always there, always available. And part of my theology is, and I've encountered so many people over the years of my ministry that say, well, it's God's will that this and this happened. It's God's will that baby died because it was deformed. It's God's will this and this and this. And I won't tell you the guttural language I use to respond to that. Because God goes with us. God doesn't cause bad things in our lives. But oftentimes God doesn't intervene either, but says, I'll go with you. And so we go with faith. One of the most marvelous things about this passage, I think, the letter to the Hebrews, is the way it somehow looks backward to Abraham and others, and forward also at the same time, finding strength and grounding our faith in what's been, yet letting our hope soar on the wings of our imagination as we dream of what is yet to be, nourished as we will be today by the bread of life and the cup of hope and faith. So speak to our hearts this hour, Christ Jesus, as we come to your table for the bread of life and the cup of hope, the cup of faith freely given. Amen.